and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." A verse you see all over the country right now, specifically with the state of our country and the virus and everybody living in fear. Such a powerful verse. We're going to focus on one aspect of that. Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this life that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity together as fellow believers and open your word and understand what you're telling us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would make the application. I pray that you would open our understanding, give us wisdom, knowledge, and the truth. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the title, or not the title, but the topic, this is more of a topical sermon, the topic is going to be on prayer, kind of like the last song that we sang, Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's going to be on prayer, but one of the struggles with a topical message is, where do you begin? What do you say? Just thinking of the idea of prayer, you can turn just about anywhere in the Bible and find something about prayer. So where do you go? Where do you turn? What do you emphasize? What do you point out? And so I had to kind of break it down into three sections in my own mind. So these three sections would be, firstly, personal prayer, prayer that we would have kind of on our own time. The Bible speaks about entering into our closet, our space set apart, set aside, where we can have quiet and peace, free of distractions. The Bible even gives us the example of Jesus Christ in Mark 1:35, where he said, "And rising up a great while before day, he went into a solitary place." He separated himself. He went alone and prayed. And he did that many other times. The secondly, after personal, would be family. We pray oftentimes together as a family, most typically at meals or before we go to bed. Many times we have to pray as a family. And there's the old saying that the family that prays together stays together. And one of the blessings I have with my family is to hear my young kids begin to pray, specifically Hallie and Riley. Hudson, we more so have to lead him in a prayer, and he just repeats every word that we say, but it's still good. But to hear Hallie and Riley's heart as they begin to pray, sharing their burdens, what's on their mind. Oftentimes it's their boo-boos, but that's okay. So we have our personal prayers, our family prayers, and lastly, where we're going to focus is church prayers. Typically on Wednesday, that's an emphasis that is placed. We have our prayer sheet, and we take prayer requests, and we spend an extra time in prayer as a church, as the body of believers. And we're going to do that here in just a minute. My message is going to be shorter, and we're going to spend more time in prayer, since that's what my message is about, praying as a church. The title is Praying as a Church. Praying as a church. So let me give you three examples here. If you would turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 1. I'll take up my reading in verse 12. So what we have here is, obviously, Acts follows the four Gospels. The Gospels tell us about the life of Christ. Then we turn to the book of Acts. And in the beginning of chapter number 1, we see that Christ is still here on earth, but he's risen again, and he's talking. He's about to ascend into heaven. I'll get there in a minute. Acts chapter number 1. He's about to ascend in heaven. Look at verse number 12. After Christ ascended into heaven, verse number 12, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath's day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James." Here's the emphasis, verse number 14. Then all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These all continued with one accord in prayer. The Bible is teaching us here through this example of prayer that we as believers can join our hearts together and go before the throne of God, bringing our petitions, our burdens, our needs, our wants. We can pray together as a family. We can agree together in prayer. Turn one page in my Bible, maybe one page in yours, Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 in verse 41. Here we see the church began, the New Testament church. It's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's come down. Peter's going to preach. About 3,000 get saved. Let's take up our reading in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The church in its infant stage, the New Testament church, continued steadfastly in those areas. And it points out lastly in the area of prayer. And each and every one of us as a church, continuing steadfastly as a church, praying, bring our needs and wants before the Lord, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We see the example of prayer, the practice of prayer, but here's where I want to place a little bit more of an emphasis. Turn to chapter number 12, book of Acts, chapter number 12. Here we see some persecution. Herod's the one that's doing the persecuting. Beginning in verse number 1. Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse number 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There is power in God's people agreeing together in prayer, going together as a body of believers, agreeing in prayer to God. Here we see the church praying, Herod persecuting Peter, already killed James, but he wants to kill Peter as well, but he just throws him in prison. The church prays, God answers the prayer, they continued steadfastly in prayer, they answer the prayer, and Peter is delivered. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter number 18. We've seen the example of prayer, the group of people praying in the upper room. We saw the practice of prayer, the New Testament church praying. We saw them praying for Peter. Look at Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18, beginning of verse number 19. Jesus Christ speaking says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." I would say that we are two or three. We're more than two or three, but we're a group of people. The body of believers, we're Christians, children of God, gathered together with an emphasis on prayer. It says, asking for anything that they shall ask, praying for anything. If you ask for anything according to the Father's will, He will hear you and answer you. There is power in praying together as a church. There's power in agreeing together as a body of believers. Prayer is powerful, but prayer takes work. It takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. And if we were honest with ourselves, each and every one of us would probably have to say that we don't pray as often as we should, or we don't pray as fervently as we should, or we don't pray about all the things that we could possibly pray about. Oftentimes, our prayers seem to come around dinner time or when we wake up in the morning or when we go to bed or at church time, organized prayer times. Each and every one of us, I would say, could probably have a better prayer life, could probably do a little bit better. And oftentimes, one of the hindrances or the miscommunications in prayer is We come to church here and somebody will share a burden with us, or somebody having a hard time, and what do we reply with? I'm praying for you. I'll pray for you. But how often do we? Those words seem to just flow off our tongue, and it's so easy to say, but sometimes so hard to keep faithful to that promise. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. But I'd like to show you something interesting. If you turn to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation. Now, this isn't, don't hold me to this. This is not any sort of doctrine I'm claiming. This is just something I came across that I'd like to show you. Talking about the area of prayer, specifically the area of a church. Praying together as a church family. By the way, we are a family. Family ought to pray for one another. We ought to pray together. But look in Revelation chapter number 5. Again, this is just something I ran across. I've not studied it out. Maybe you'll study it on your own. But have you ever wondered what might happen to your prayers? Look at verse number 8. Revelation 5, verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of saints. We can read throughout God's Word and see that the believers, God's children, are the saints. Paul, in his many letters that he penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, oftentimes addresses specific churches and the saints that are with you. So we understand that the believers are the saints, and here we see which are the prayers of the saints. Turn to chapter number 8. We're going to see it again. Chapter number 8. I'm going to pull out an interesting thought here. Look at chapter number 8, verse number 3. Revelation 8, chapter number 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. It said that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne of God. So I can just imagine this vial here next to the throne of God and our prayers filling it up. And so that leads me to think, if God has kept all of our prayers, how much of my prayer has filled up that vial? How much of our prayers collectively as a whole, a body of believers, a church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, has filled up that vial of prayers? God has saved, it seems, each and every one of them. Many of you growing up as a parent, maybe you had a young kid, or maybe you remember when you were a kid, and your parent, you might come home from elementary school and bring home some art that you drew, and you show it to your mom, and she keeps it. My mom kept everything that I had. She had this big tote. She put everything in there. Or maybe you have a loved one that's serving in the military. They're in another country, and they write you a note. You hang on to that. It's near and dear to your heart. And God seems to be saying here, I love your precious prayers. I've received each and every one of them. Though the answer may not have been what you wanted, I've kept every single one of them. Let me have more. They're precious to me. So how many of our prayers have filled up the vial next to the throne of God? By show of hands, how many in this room have had great, definite answers to prayer sometime in their life? Just simply raise your hand. Pretty much everybody. Probably the greatest prayer that you've ever prayed was asking the Lord to save your soul and to go to heaven when you die. What a prayer where He answered immediately. But each and every one of us all across the room have had some prayer in our life where God has answered specifically in a powerful way. Yet oftentimes it seems that our prayer life increases when we're going through struggles, when we're going through the trials in our life, when we seem to have the most needs in our life. Yet when everything's going good and hunky-dory, prayer just kind of gets pushed to the side. It doesn't really seem to be important. But oftentimes for other things, we make time for what's important, and prayer is important. We really should be like David, where he said in Psalm 109, I give myself unto prayer. It should be a daily habit, something we do each and every day, morning, noon, and evening. You see, oftentimes, all of our prayers seem to be ordinary prayers. They're the ordinary prayers of, let's pray before supper. Ordinary prayers of, it's time to go to bed, let's pray before we go to bed. Or somebody has a specific need, let's pray. Just kind of a repetition, routine type thing. We come to church, let's pray over the prayer sheet. But really, we need to have extraordinary prayer times. And when I think about extraordinary prayer times, oftentimes I think about prayer meetings. And it's been a little bit over a year ago, but Pastor began having a prayer meeting for men on Tuesday mornings. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not really a morning person. We get together here at 6 a.m. to 6:30 every Tuesday morning, and it's a struggle to get here. Oftentimes I come in about 1 minute before 6 a.m., and this past Tuesday I believe it was about 1 minute after 6 a.m., but I was thankful they waited on me. It is a struggle for me. It takes commitment. It takes work. But every Tuesday, as we've prayed for over a little over a year, and I haven't made every one of them, but I've began to see my prayer life be challenged, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to pray more often, to pray for things I don't typically think of, to pray for the other guys that come here throughout the day, to hear their burdens. You know, that's one of the blessings of hearing other people pray. You get to hear their heart. You get to hear what's on their mind. You get to hear them share their burdens. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to point out one thing. As I've prayed with Brother Steve, one thing he always says, and I fail to say often in my prayers, but we need to, is he typically prays towards the beginning of his prayer something along the lines of, "Father, forgive me where I fail you." Each and every day we should pray for God to forgive us. And that has been a real encouragement to me, a reminder as I think about Tuesday morning prayer meetings and Brother Steve, to ask forgiveness for my own sins. Yes, that was necessary on the day of our salvation, but it's also necessary each and every day following that, because we're not free from sin till we go to heaven. But asking for forgiveness. Turn to Psalm 66. This will be the last place we turn. Keeping in mind, asking for forgiveness. Psalm 66, look at verse number 18. I wanted to point out this verse because we're going to get to praying as a church here in just a moment. But I think it's important that we begin here when we pray as a church. And you'll see why. Psalm 66, verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Verse number 19, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. The first thing, when we begin to pray here in a minute, I want to challenge you to ask for forgiveness, because our prayers can be hindered if we're regarding any iniquity, any sin in our life. And if we want to have victory in prayer together as a church, I think it'd be appropriate if we first seek forgiveness to remove any hindrance or stumbling blocks that might not allow our prayers to be answered by God. John Bunyan said, "We can do more than pray after we have prayed, but we can do nothing until we have prayed." Someone else said, "All of our failures are prayer failures." And so I began to ask myself, how often do I fail to take things to the Lord in prayer? How often do I neglect bringing my prayers to God? Whether it may seem in my mind something so simple that it doesn't merit me taking it to God in prayer. But God says we can bring anything to God in prayer. How often do we fail to take things to the Lord in prayer? So I want you to travel with me to Dublin, Ireland. The year is 1819. A man was born by the name of Joseph Scriven. Anybody ever heard that name before? He's wrote a few hymns, but he was born in Dublin, Ireland in the year 1819, Joseph Scriven. He grew up there. At about the age of 25, he was planned to get married. He had a fiancée. And the day before they were going to get married, his fiancée drowned in the water, was killed. He was devastated. He was heartbroken. So what he did, he decided in his own mind he was going to start again, start a new life. And so he moved from Dublin, Ireland to Canada. Shortly after getting to Canada, he got word that his mother fell very sick. She was really ill. That just added to the heartache. That just added to the grief. And so he penned this poem and sent it to her as part of an encouragement. And I'd like to sing it all together as a church. It's hymn 392, and it deals with the area of prayer. We're not going to put it up on the screen. Let's just all pull out our hymnals and focus on the words as we sing them along. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. I can just hear Joseph Scriven being heartbroken about his fiancée passing away the day before they got married. Then finding out his mother fallen very ill. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So let's all sing this from our heart. Sing it to the Lord. What a good reminder of taking things to the Lord in prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
That'll be good right there. Let's transition into taking our prayers to the Lord. Let's have our prayer time together as a church. I'm going to read off these blue cards. And so our prayer time together as a church, we're going to pray until about 8 o'clock. It's roughly 20 minutes. We're going to place a little bit more emphasis in the area of prayer together as a church. And I'm going to share these prayer requests on this blue card, and then we'll pray together. If everyone get out.